Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable, quality clothing right here in the USA. Because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.
To the Sixer Sense podcast. I'm your host Lucas with Chris. Chris, how's it going, man?
It is going pretty good. How about yourself, Lucas?
It's going good. You know, we're not doing this twice a week. Maybe we'll make our way back up to it, but for now we're doing once a week. But you know where we are at is the start of the NBA regular season, night three of the NBA regular season. And there's a lot to talk about, but there's only one Sixers game to talk about, right, Chris?
Yeah, unfortunately, some might say. Opening night, Lucas, on Wednesday against the Bucks, 124-109 was the final score. Notably, no Joel Embiid, no Paul George. That has been a big theme lately. It is going to continue to be a theme for the next few days, at least it seems. You know, not how you wanted to start the season. Obviously, I think we would all like to beat Doc Rivers in Philadelphia. But Milwaukee had a healthy team, got great performances from Giannis and Dame Lillard. Philly, not so much. Standout, obviously, in a way. Tyrese Maxey, maybe not in the best way. 25 points, but on 31 shots, Lucas. Kelly Oubre had a nice night, had 21, was their number two scorer. But what were some of your takeaways, good and bad, in this game?
Well, first, before I even get to the Sixers, I got to give some respect on Brook Lopez's name. Six blocks in this game. That's part of the reason why Tyrese Maxey shot so poorly from the field. It was a deterrent at the rim all night. Without Joel, there's no floor spacing at the center position, which makes Brook Lopez's life a lot easier defensively. That being said, let's get to the Sixers here. Surprising twist, we all thought it was going to be Caleb Martin, but it was actually KJ Martin who started opening night. That was an interesting move. I understand the move, though, and I get the idea of throwing somebody a little bit stronger, a little bit thicker at Giannis. Didn't seem to make a difference, though. Overall, Giannis still got his. He got 25 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 block. KJ had 3 fouls in 15 minutes. You know, couldn't do too much. But, you know, that's not... Look, that KJ wasn't even the problem here. The Bucks are just a better team when we don't have two of our top three players on the floor. Like, that's just, it's a fact. I was actually surprised it was close at the end of the first quarter. I was. Look, when you're having a starting five of Tyrese Maxey, an old Eric Gordon, Kelly Oubre, KJ Martin, and Andre Drummond, you're not going to do great. Drummond struggled with foul trouble, as one would expect. Playing against, you know, Brook Lopez and Giannis. Yabu did the best he could. He fouled out, though. Like, I don't know if there's too much good here. I mean, Kyle Lowry, your guy, 13 points off the bench, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. Probably one of the lone bright spots here for the Sixers. Caleb Martin played pretty good, too. 12 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists on 5 of 10 shooting. The three-point shot was just not there for the Sixers, though, overall. The Bucks did a good job. We thought this was going to be like a, you know, beat Doc Rivers game. It was not. Doc Rivers got his, you know, healing against us in this game for sure. Yeah, I don't know if there's really a player of the game for me. I don't know, man. I'll go consensus on who you choose, but I'm leaning towards Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, you're telling me Kyle Lowry showed up against a good team in a big game and played well despite his age.
Well, I don't know if this is a big game, but yeah, he showed
a lot of good things. You're saying on the floor, despite being 39 years old.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Wow.
Despite being 39 years old,
who could have predicted?
By the way, I just want to say you very much trolled me because when you sent the agenda, I clicked on the link for the game and it was the opening night results from last year. Good job there. You know, good job.
It's all the same. Yeah, look, I mean, Kyle Lowry, I think as everyone except you knew, was going to be a good player for this team this season.
I'm not saying that he's not a bad player. I'm not expecting a 39-year-old to make that big of a contribution.
Yeah.
Well, unless his name is LeBron James.
Well, I was. Look, I agree with most of the points you made. I think the KJ versus Caleb thing was interesting. Nurse basically said Caleb is going to play starting minutes. He just likes the different look of bringing him off the bench in a sixth man role. I can get behind that, I guess. I don't know if KJ I don't know if KJ is the guy who should be starting. I don't know how long this is going to last. Like you said, he didn't do much in this
game. They're just trying to bring up his value. Maybe they're just trying to bring up his trade value a little bit.
I could see it. Eric Gordon's the one who really shouldn't be starting. Like, I think we both knew that before the season.
Yeah,
talked about it.
Yeah,
the ranking
the Yeah, I think we had him both, what, like a 10th or 11th or something
Yeah, I mean, we just both saw this coming. I think he's fine as, like, a bench guy maybe, but he should not be starting games. Even, obviously, he's not a normal starter. This is because Paul George was out, but in any context, there are just better guys in that spot, whether it's Caleb or whether it's Jared McCain, who didn't really play in this game. I know the rookie's going to have to earn a stripe.
Or Kyle.
Or Kyle
at this point.
You know, I've told you, like, maybe Kyle should just be a starter on this team. We'll see how that goes.
I'm thinking when two out of the three best players are gone, you can start Kyle then. Sure.
Yeah, especially then. So... some adjustments to be sure for Nick Nurse in this game, but I'm cool with calling Kyle Lowry the player of the game. That works for me, Lucas. Let's move on now though and talk about the thing we talked about.
You just
about
love
last
getting
week.
That flowers, huh?
The only thing we have to talk about ever is Joel Embiid alive? Is he going to play basketball? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about the fact that the NBA is now investigating the Sixers for Joel's, missing time. They are, you know, investigating it, whether it lines up with the player participation rules. Of course, if it does not, I'm sure there will be consequences. What those consequences are, I'm not 100% sure. But, there's no setbacks with Joel. As Nick Nurse said, he's just simply not ready to play based on their new criteria to preserving his health. So any reactions to the NBA, investigating them and anything else regarding Joel's just overall health? I'm honestly, I'll say this before you chime in. I'm not concerned, but I'm questioning why he didn't play. Because he played in the Olympics. He was healthy in the Olympics. And it's not like he was out of shape. He lost 25, 30 pounds. So, like, what's the deal? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either. So if the NBA can tell us, that's fine by me. Obviously, the NBA wants their stars on the court. And they've been kind of cracking down on this recently. And the Sixers are taking a very aggressive and not very well thought out or hidden route here to preserving Embiid. They're not really hiding the fact that they're just not going to play him in a lot of games this year. It's very strange, like you said, that he's just not playing opening night, that the plan would not involve getting him up to speed by opening night. I'm sure there's some like quantifiable reason that they're just not going to tell us for why he's not playing yet, but it's strange. It's a little frustrating. I think we all want him to play the long game and be healthy in the playoffs and to take it slow. I don't think any of us have problems with him sitting out back-to-backs or even resting games. I've heard a lot of like people saying he's on the Kawhi Leonard plan. That's fine. I would rather them be too safe.
I mean, they won a championship with that plan. I mean, they won a championship with Nurse in that plan, so
exactly.
Clearly has merit.
Like, better safe than sorry, but at the same time, I think we all want to see Joel on the floor. He's one of the best players in the world. Like, him not being on the floor opening night and them not having a really good reason for why he's not out there, not at least trying to explain what parameters he has not met to not be able to play, is a little strange and a little frustrating. I understand why fans are upset. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help, like, that Paul George is hurt too, you know? So the fact that we spent all summer hyping up this new big three, and now it seems like we'll maybe get 40 games of them if we want to be optimistic, like, it's a little bit of a bummer. But
are we becoming the East Clippers? I hope not. I hope we're not becoming the East Clippers.
Yeah, that would not. Does not seem like Joel's knee is quite as bad as Kawhi's, based on new reporting on that front today. But
Kawhi needs to retire. I'm sorry, he needs to retire.
Yeah, the Clippers are being sued by a former trainer over how they handled Kawhi. So
yeah,
that's a different story.
Yeah,
I hope it's a different story.
We're not.
But
I'm hoping so too.
It's very strange. It's kind of hard to predict how this team is going to perform when we just don't know how many games Joel is going to play. Like, is he going to play over or under 50 games? Like,
are you asking me to make a bet or
guess? Right now, over under.
Right now, you're asking me.
Yes,
I think he plays 49.
Sure. And I think that's, like, obviously it's a totally arbitrary, like, number, but, like, I think that's kind of a fair read on the situation.
Yeah.
If he does play zero back-to-backs, like you said, that's 15 games right off the top. We know that Joel's not.
And then there's, like, planned rest.
There's going to be planned rest. We know he's going to get hurt at some point, no matter what they do, even if it's just, like, a little bump or bruise or random swelling in his knee or whatever.
He never plays in Denver.
Right, so, like, I think 50 is, like, a number to shoot for, but that's not going to help the Sixers' record, and it's not going to help them gain chemistry with Paul George and that trio for the playoffs. I'm a little worried. Like, I like the idea of resting Joel, but if he doesn't build up a rhythm by the like, you can rest too much and then not be ramped up, not be in a rhythm when the playoffs come around. And then you're playing 38 minutes a night, 40 minutes a night, and that's just too much at once. Like, there are levels to this where I'm a little bit spooked, you know. It is Halloween, so I'm officially spooked, but we'll see how it goes.
Spooky season. Yeah, no, yeah. You're right here. You definitely want to get him some ramp up. I think the ideal is to play him between, like, 60 and 65 games. I think that would be a good number. We'll see if he gets there. Probably won't, but, like, who knows? You talked about Paul George. Let's talk about how the fact that he's going to be out at least through Sunday, it appears now. And look, he said it was a bone bruise. He said on his podcast that he'll be back sooner rather than later. Bone bruise, when I had one, it took me about 3 weeks to a month to get back walking again. So, you know, mine, I would assume, was a little bit more severe than his, if he's already walking back this quickly. So we'll see, though. We'll see. It's not a fun injury to come back from. I totally am okay with resting him until he's better. It sounds like they're both return date is around Wednesday next week.
Yeah.
Unless I read. Who do they play?
Next Wednesday. I believe it's the Detroit Pistons. Ooh.
Well, that seems like a good ramp-up game for both of them, then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not choosing Tobias Harris over Paul George, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not making the same mistake twice.
No. Like, at least with Paul George, we know exactly why he's not playing yet, and I think everyone's fine with it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't rush him back. It's unfortunate, but yeah, he's hurt. Like, what can you do? That's the thing with Joel. It seems that he's not hurt, and that's where it gets a little iffy and disconcerting. But he should be back soon. Hopefully it's by the Pistons game. If it's not, we'll all survive. But yeah, I'm sure this is not the last time we'll talk about these two being hurt or absent or some other strange thing. So get used to it, guys. This is going to be like a weekly segment on the pod. So,
what's wrong with Joel?
Is Joel available? Is Paul George able to walk? All that fun stuff. Yeah. Okay. Let's move along now, Lucas. We are going to talk about something fun and new over at fansided.com. This is our 8th annual 25 under 25, ranking the best 25 players under the age of 25 in the NBA right now. How do you want to do this, Lucas? Do you want to go through the whole list or just want like some highlights?
We can go through the whole list. Why not?
25. Why not? This is what the people want.
Yeah.
You guys can all go read this
right now. They want to hear me. You get my live reaction. I had no idea this was going on, so I'm probably going to be yelling at Chris a little bit.
Yeah, well, look, to be fair, this is not my
ranking. Okay, this is not your ranking. Okay, so you're...
My ranking is...
So the guys upstairs just told...
No. So here...
Okay,
here,
so here, the bosses the bosses upstairs wanted us to do this. That's what you're saying.
No, I put this in myself.
Okay.
Five of us on the NBA team at .com submitted rankings 1 to 10 for how we expected guys like just to like rank their value or expected value this season, 1 to 10. We ranked all the players under the age of 25 in the NBA this season.
That sounds tedious.
This is like the aggregate. This is the average of all our rankings. You can go read it right now at .com. Okay. We have individual profiles written up for all 25 guys. It's really very cool. And I would say it's worth your time. Everyone put in a lot of good work. We'll start, Lucas. We'll go from the bottom up, of course. 25, we have Jalen Suggs. 24, we have Brandon Podziemski.
I forget that he's under. Huh.
Yeah. 23. Jaylen
Green.
No, I
just forgot that. Yeah, I'll stop at 20 and then let me react.
Okay. 25, Jalen Suggs. 24, Brandon Podziemski of Golden State. 23, Jalen Green of Houston. 22 is Keegan Murray. And 21 is Derek Lively II. React.
Well, part of me's shocked to see Keegan Murray ahead of Jalen Green, but also it makes sense. Because, like, Green's kind of like, he's like, how do I describe Green? He's like the bad version of Monte Ellis. Does that make sense? Like, he's a high volume guy, but he's not efficient. And it's kind of hard to figure out if he's a franchise guy. He's kind of like the bad version of Monte Ellis. I forgot that Jalen Suggs was under 25. I'll be honest. He looks kind of old. He's getting a little thin in the back of the head there. Just saying. Kind of surprised on that one. Yeah, no. Derek Lively ahead of some people. Yeah, I can see that. Depends on... I think this will be a very interesting season whether or not he adds a three-point shot to his game. That's going to be the interesting part. He can do it. He did it in the preseason.
Okay, so did Andre Drummond. Yeah, look, I mean, again, this is not my specific ranking. I just straight up would not have Jalen Green on this list. I don't think he's earned it. I understand the appeal and the upside. It's all there. He's like an incredible athlete, and if he puts it together, he will get there one day. But it's a weird fit in Houston. They just paid him a bunch of money, so they're betting on him putting it all together. But I wouldn't personally have him on the top 25 yet. So yeah, I think Keegan Murray ahead is definitely the right choice. I think Suggs is a little low. But let's move on. 20, we have Jonathan Kuminga. 19, Kobe White. 18, Jalen Johnson of Atlanta. Huh. 17, Devin Vassell of San Antonio. And 16 is Brandon Miller.
Can we really... And going back to Jalen Suggs, him and Kobe White have something in common. They've only had, like, one really good year of offense. So can we, like, really have them as high as we do? I get Suggs with his defense. That's fine. But, like, Kobe White, he's really only had one breakout year. I don't know if I... Can you say the rest of the list? I kind of blanked out after Kobe White. Can you say the rest of the list again?
Yeah. 20 is Kuminga. 19 is Kobe White. 18 is Jalen Johnson.
Okay.
17 is Devin Vassell. And 16 is Brandon Miller.
I feel like Kuminga's a little low there, honestly. But okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Kuminga's another guy. He shouldn't be on the list.
I think, no, Jonathan Kuminga is stuck in a very bad situation for him because his head coach is a system coach, and he does not fit that system. If he was on any other team, he would have been better developed.
I mean, look, maybe that's fair. I do think the Steve Kerr relationship was a limiting factor there at times. But it is what it is. That's where he's been developing. So I'll read a few, I think, notable names here just real quick who didn't make the list so that we can add some context here. These are the guy here. I'll just give you the first five out. First five out were Denny Avdija, RJ Barrett, Jaime Jaquez, Shaedon Sharpe, and Jalen Duren from the Pistons. Amen Thompson notably did not make it. No Cason Wallace. No Jaden McDaniels, which seems egregious to me. So there were some very
Jaden
good
Daniels
names.
Should be on the...
I agree.
I would say Jaime Jaquez and Jaden Daniels should be on the list. I think those are the two that definitely need to be on the list.
I agree. I think Amen Thompson is going to be knocking on the top 15 by the end of the season. Jabari Smith left off as well.
Jabari Smith. That's actually surprising. He's really good.
Again, not my ranking.
And Thompson, personally. my question with Thompson is, can he get a consistent 3-point shot? Because that's the problem that both twins had last year. They had no outside shot.
I think it matters a little bit less for Amen than Asar. In part just because of the teams they're on. But I think Amen is more gifted on the ball than Asar is right now. And I think just the speed and the...
But Asar is such better defender. He's such a better defender.
I don't think it's that big a gap. I think Amen's a pretty spectacular defender in his own right. Anyways, that's just to give some context to the guys we're leaving off here. Let's go 15 now, Lucas. 15 is Trey Murphy from New Orleans. 14 is LaMelo Ball. 13 is Franz Wagner. 12 is Alperen Şengün. And 11 is Jalen Williams.
LaMelo Ball should still be top 10. I don't care about the injuries. He's still a top 10 talent under 25.
So you're taking LaMelo over J-Dub?
Yeah. J-Dub, first off, they play him out of position. He's not a power forward. He's like a shooting guard small forward,
okay,
maybe.
Who cares? J-Dub's top 30 player in the world.
LaMelo Ball, when healthy, is also a top 30 player.
I think LaMelo has more holes in his game than J-Dub. I agree that LaMelo's really good.
I think the difference is that J-Dub's a two-way player and LaMelo is just a superstar offensive player.
Yeah.
When LaMelo is focused defensively, he's a passable defender.
Sure, but J-Dub is a very good defender, and he's also a very, very good offensive player. Like, he's a star on that end in his own right.
I mean, it's hard for me to say that he's a star player when he only averaged 18 points last year.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, I think LaMelo moves up the list if he can put together a healthy season. I think that's totally reasonable.
If he's healthy, he's like I said at the beginning, if he's healthy, he's a top 10, arguably top 5.
Yeah, it's fair. All right, number 10, Cade Cunningham of the Detroit Pistons. Number 9, Evan Mobley, your guy. 8, Scotty Barnes. 7, Zion Williamson. Okay. And 6 is Paolo Banchero.
Zion should be top 5 if he's healthy. Paolo should be
lower.
Paolo's very close to being top 5. Lower. I'm going to say something that's a little controversial, and you're going to hate me for it because I know how much you love him, but I think Cade's slightly overrated.
I agree. I don't have that strong of an
opinion. I think he's a little overrated. I think, like, he's not athletic. He's an okay shooter. His playmaking is not as elite as everybody thinks it is. It's okay.
Like the appeal to him is his size, and he's not a good defender. Like, you know, I don't.
He's like LaMelo Ball, but like less flashy and not nearly as good of a shooter.
I would agree. I would to put LaMelo over Cade. Like, again, my rankings are only part of the calculus here. I'm like a fifth of the votes, mm-hmm. so I couldn't do everything. Yeah, I think Cade is probably a little high. I think you're right. I think there's obviously natural appeal in a 6'7 point guard. And I think Cade is probably maybe a bit better than you're giving him credit for as a scorer. But
He's not a number one option. Cade's not a number one option.
I think he can get there. I think being in Detroit has been an inhibitor for him. I think that's like just a crappy situation for any player.
I mean,
especially last year with Monty.
But
Monty just didn't know what he was doing with that team. And
no.
Cade was also hurt for a good chunk of his like early years. So that's all part of it. I think Cade is going to get better. I think like projecting forward, it's a pretty reasonable spot to have him in the top 10. But I can get behind saying he's maybe a little high.
I don't know. I think like he's good. I just see him like on a winning team. He's like the third or fourth best player.
I think he has a higher ceiling than
like
that.
Like a third best player. I think he's the third best player on a winning team, but
I think that's a little unfair. But
I don't see his score. Like, is he gonna be like demanding the ball, like being a number two scorer on a winning team? No, he's more of a playmaker, if anything. So like he's gonna be like deferring. So he'd be like if you're trying to build a winning team, is Cade gonna be your number good
on ball scorer? I think you're like negating some of his scoring ability. Like that was a big thing out of Oklahoma State. It was like Cade can get buckets. I think he's
I'm not saying that he can't score. I'm just saying, like, do you want a unathletic 6'7 point guard being your number one or number two option?
That's not a fair way to
describe it. He has no quick twitch. He doesn't have he can't jump. Okay, the difference is that Luka plays at his own pace. Cade just plays at a pace.
I think Cade plays at his own pace. I don't think Cade.
I'm sorry. We can agree to disagree on this. I think
Cade being overrated, but I think you are underrating him. I think there's a middle ground between you and maybe where he's ranked right now.
I would have him top 15. I would probably have him 15th.
Sure. That's fair enough. All right, number five, Lucas, Tyrese Maxey.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Chet Holmgren. Number three, Tyrese Haliburton. Number two, Anthony Edwards. And number one is Victor Wembanyama.
I don't hate it. I don't. I think the top five is right.
Here's my take. I really think we're overrating Anthony Edwards. I just don't think he's quite as good as
you think. Really?
He's not better than Haliburton. He's just not. Like, I understand that Tyrese was hurt down the stretch last year, but when Tyrese was healthy last year, he was way ahead of where Ant is right now.
I think you value Tyrese's playmaking more than you value Ant's two-way play in elite athleticism.
Ant is a very good
the fact
scorer.
That he's a pretty good
And is not like some elite defender.
Not just,
he's not like an all defense.
He can pick
candidate.
It up when
you know
he
I
needs
mean? Like,
he can do it when he wants to.
He can
do it when he wants to.
Sure. So can like Russell Westbrook. But Russ has been one of the worst defenders in the league. Like you have to want to do it more often than.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't have to because he has Rudy Gobert and Jaden McDaniels too. Mike Conley's not a slouch. So like, look. Let's not even worry about the defense here. Let's just say this. Okay, Tyrese Haliburton. He's a 6'5 point guard, right?
Yeah.
And Edwards is also 6'4, 6'5, right? So they're about the same height. Who would you rather have take a shot for you at the end of the game?
This is not how you evaluate.
My money's on it.
Player.
I think that when it's this close, I think it is important
that
the clutch factor is important.
I don't think it's like
no, you didn't. So you're answering the question by not answering the question. So you would take Anthony Edwards. Okay, cool.
Would I take Ant with 5 seconds on the clock? We have to go ISO? Probably. But yeah. I don't think that makes him a better player.
Okay, but let's talk about it. In your opinion, what makes Tyrese a better player? His playmaking? Yes, he has elite playmaking. Absolutely. He's arguably the best, one of the top 4 point guards in the NBA, right? Fair enough. Anthony Edwards is the best shooting guard in the NBA. There is no debate. The only person close to him is Devin Booker. Who? Who besides Devin Booker?
Well, Booker, great starting point for the debate.
Look, you know I used to be the co-expert for Valley of the Suns. I am a big Devin Booker fan. That being said, I can admit when somebody's better than Devin Booker. Anthony Edwards is better.
That's fine. Again, positions are like so arbitrary. Being the best shooting guard does not mean you're better than the 5th best point guard if there are just 5 better point guards.
Okay, like, so what makes Haliburton better?
What makes Haliburton better? You already said it. He elevates teammates. Tyrese makes everyone around him better. I'm not sure Ant is quite there yet. Like,
well, to be fair, how many people are averaging 10 plus? Is
an elite shooter. Like, the stress he puts on a defense as a pull-up shooter is significant.
I would have agreed with you. I would have agreed with you before the injury last year, but now since the injury and at the beginning of this season,
he's
going to
get healthy again. You don't, like, he was hurt. Why would that count more than what we saw before he got hurt?
Well, it does count because he I don't know, man. He didn't look great in the game last night against, you know, whoever they played against. He still shot bad. I'm just saying.
Yeah, everyone's just saying. Look, Tyrese shot 10 for 31. No one's arguing that he is in the top 5 here, right? Like, bad Tyrese Maxey. Like,
can we get to Maxey? Because this is a Sixers podcast. Yeah, let's get to Maxey, okay? Can we get to Tyrese Maxey?
Sure.
Honestly, Tyrese Maxey, I love Tyrese Maxey. I love that he's number 5 on this list. But honestly, if everybody's healthy, Tyrese is lower. Because Zion's on the top 5 if he's healthy.
I agree with that. I think Zion...
I hate to say that. I hate to say it.
You're right.
But it's true.
You're right about Zion. But, I mean, like...
Zion would probably be number...
6, like, maybe?
Zion would probably be number 2 or 3 if he was healthy on this list.
I agree. I'd have Zion higher. I think the only people I'd have in, like... I think Tyrese at 6 would be pretty fair, though. I think you could honestly argue right now that Tyrese is better than Ant, too. Like, we won't have that argument. I think Ant is more in the Tyrese Maxey range than the Haliburton range. That's just me. Maybe I'll be proven wrong, and he, like, is permanently altered by that injury. But I think Maxey is, like, really shooting up. Like, Maxey's really good, and he's a much better shooter than Ant. He's a better playmaker now. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. He only had two or three assists last night, man. I need to see more.
I get it, but like,
and here's my thing about Tyrese. He always struggles when he's the lone superstar, right? Maxey can't. Sure. I think he's like a Kyrie Irving-esque, like. He's really good as a number 2, which makes you think he's an elite number 1, too. But no, he's just an elite number 2, number 3 guy.
I can get behind that. Does that make sense? Right. Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think Tyrese is definitely better because he's next to Joel and formerly like James Harden. Like, I think those guys make him better. Yeah. I think overall...
Because because if the defense is focusing on them, there's ways to stop Tyrese Maxey. We saw it last night. We saw it. There's other ways. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think overall this is like a really solid list. And again, everyone should go read all the profiles that we wrote up. Everyone did really great work. And there's a lot of really creative and interesting things being said. But like, part of the fun of the project is that everyone's going to disagree and have their own thoughts and opinions on things. And you can let that be known on social media and all those other places where it's being shared. So go check it out at fansided.com. You can see it on the Step Back Twitter account right now. Like, it's easy to find. But yeah, let's move on, Lucas. Let's go around the league real quick. I'll start, I guess. I just want to know your MVP pick right now. Who are you picking for MVP?
That is a very hard question. I honestly don't usually like picking MVP until like the first couple of months, at least a month.
It's a prediction.
Okay.
I'd like to know who's going to win first before I pick. That's
I think this year's MVP, this is why I was fighting for this player so hard in our last segment, I think it's going to be Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. No. Okay.
I already know who you're
on the record.
I'm going to say, yeah, Anthony Edwards. Absolutely. I feel good about that. You asked for a prediction. That's my prediction.
We want to overreact to the opening night game. Yikes. Minnesota. Okay.
Okay. Well, I already know who I got two good guesses of who yours is going to be. You're either going to go with Jokic or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right?
You know me so well. I wrote about this.
So who is it? Who is it?
I wrote about this very thing the other day on the whiteboard for a predictions roundtable. I was basically like, my head says Jokic or my heart says Shai.
I knew it. I knew it.
It is so easy to just pick Jokic because he's the best player in the world. And like, Denver has not done a very good job of building around him lately.
I don't think he gets it this year.
In a way that makes him more valuable, because they're still going to kick butt whenever he's on the floor, and they're going to look worse when he's not on the floor. We've seen the same argument over and over again with Joel. Like, Denver is going to be the on-off splits with Jokic this year are just going to be absurd. I think OKC is going to win 60-plus games in a really good conference and be really dominant. And Shai's the best player there. Shai's awesome. Like, best player on the best team kind of thing could definitely work in Shai's favor. I'd love it to happen. I have to, like, pick Jokic just because he's Jokic. And I feel like
So you think he's five-time MVP worthy?
Yeah. We're talking about one of the 10 best players we've ever seen on the face of the planet. Like,
has he had four or five?
I believe
he's had four, three or four.
He's at three right now.
So four-time MVPs. He's at three. So that you think he's a four-time MVP?
Yeah. I don't think that's crazy. I think that's like...
So you put him in the same stratosphere of LeBron James?
Same stratosphere as... Like, I don't know if that's a fair way to qualify it. I don't think...
I mean, there's not...
Peak LeBron.
Let's look how many people have won four-time...
Just because... Voters have made wrong choices in the past. Like, I think we all agree that LeBron should have more MVPs than he does, right?
So LeBron and Wilt both have four.
Okay.
And Kareem LeBron. And Kareem has six. Michael Jordan and Bill Russell have five. Yeah. So you're putting him in that stratosphere of play.
Yes. Like, yes. Again, Jokic, when he's done, is going to be one of the 10 best players we've ever seen. He's amazing.
You know the difference between him and those other ones? And I hate to pull this card because, you know, it is a cheap card, but they all won more than one title.
Well, Jokic is like, what, 29? He has time. I don't think Denver's like done. Cooked, you know? He's 29.
I mean, they don't want to spend money. The only way that I can see that they can get better is they flip Porter Jr. for somebody.
They could totally win it this year. They still have a lot of good players, and they still have Jokic. Like, sometimes that's all it takes.
Do you think Russell Westbrook will win a title in his, what, year?
I don't think it will be because of Russ that they win, but I could see them winning and having Russ on the roster. I don't think that's out of the
question. I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. I'm just saying, look, I just think that...
Your argument, I think, is gonna... that like voter fatigue and weird, like people are going to do exactly what you're doing and be like, the only people to win four MVPs are X, Y, and Z, these all-time super great players. And we don't think Jokic is on that level. So even though he's been objectively the best player, we're going to give it to Shea or Luka or Tatum because they deserve it and it's their time. That
if
has happened
Tatum
in the past,
gets that, I would be so shocked. There's no way Tatum should get it.
I don't know. Boston's going to be the best team again. Tatum looked very motivated in his first game. Like, Tatum's very good, so I could see it. I think Luka is like obviously another guy who is due in that way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Luka's due. I put air quotations around that.
Shea is pretty much due himself. I think that's like an interesting.
Shea's only been elite for like two seasons. So Luka's been elite pretty much since his rookie debut.
Okay, fine. Shea's better than Luka, but we're going to skip past that debate and go to your
league
topic, Lucas.
Yeah, I just want to shout out Nick Claxton for already having a really super dirty play on like the second night of the NBA season. Basically whacked who was it? It wasn't
Dyson Daniels.
Dyson Daniels, yeah, right across the jaw. I just attribute that to him being benched and Ben Simmons starting over him. Ben Simmons in that game, I believe, had 8 assists, 6 turnovers, and like 5. Let me look this up because this is crazy. And yes, I needed to vent about Ben Simmons in at least
one. Your commitment to bringing him up like a bitter ex-girlfriend is amazing, Lucas. Like,
I'm not a bitter ex-girlfriend.
Forget about him.
I can't.
Forget about him. You know what I mean? Like, he's
gone.
Forget
about him.
You don't have to talk to him.
Yeah, this is a stat line. He had 6 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 turnovers, 6 turnovers, 5 fouls in 24 minutes.
Heck yeah, dude.
Oh, but I do. But you know what I want to shout out? Cam Thomas came out and shot fire. 36 points, 14 of 27, 7 of 13 from the 3-point line. That's actually really efficient for him. He had 3 assists, 3 steals. Shout out Cam Thomas. Probably the only bright spot.
Is Cam Thomas going to lead the NBA in scoring this year? Is Cam Thomas who's going to take the most shots in the NBA this year, and why is it Cam Thomas?
I don't know, but I'm here for it. I'm here for the Cam Thomas show. Why not?
I think that would be incredible if it's like Luka, Shea, Giannis, and then Cam Thomas leading the league in scoring.
Cam Thomas is going to do this year
what we all kind of thought Jordan Poole might do last year in Washington. Cam Thomas is going to actually do it in Brooklyn this year.
The question is, can he stay relatively this efficient?
No, that's of course not, question. But who cares? He's going to get the points any way he can. I don't think he cares
about it. I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Me too.
Cam Thomas, we might be just rooting for Cam Thomas 90% of this podcast.
I'm here for it. I'm 100%.
Shout out Lonzo Ball making his return to the hardwood. And by the way, Zach LaVine looked really good in that game too.
Shocking.
27 points.
Good player.
If you're Denver, would you trade Michael Porter Jr. for Zach LaVine?
Probably not.
Why not?
No, I could be talked into it. Porter's younger, bigger, that kind of thing. Like, I think the defense was
true, but like, you need another scorer, like another reliable scorer next to Jokic and Jamal Murray. We don't really know what's going on with
him. I think you're banking that Jamal is going to get healthy and just get back to where he's been before, which I think is fair. He was hurt.
Speaking of health,
the Olympics, I don't think we need to overreact too harshly to that. Like, I think we can give Jamal time to get back.
Speaking of guys that aren't healthy, shout out to DeJounte Murray fracturing his hand first game, and James Wiseman for second overall pick. Not really a shout out, but
that's
like
a
you
weird
know,
way
sorry,
to frame
but,
it, Lucas.
I look. It's what is it like 10:30 at night here? It's been a long day. I'm sorry, but like you know, DeJounte Murray fractured his wrist and then or hand, and then you know, James Wiseman as the Indiana Pacers backup center tore his Achilles.
Yeah,
that sucks. That sucks. It does. Oh, LaMelo Ball. By the way, Hornets top the Houston Rockets in that game.
Don't talk to me about this. I don't want to hear it.
Why don't you want to talk about it? Is it because you were so high on
I've been too much time hyping up Houston this summer. I don't want to talk about it.
I mean, Şengün looked great.
Of course he did.
Tell me why did Lando play over our man Steven Adams?
I don't know.
Steven Adams injured still? Is he still injured? I don't think he is. Thompson played good, if that makes you feel better.
Well, yeah, you know. If only there
was someone. Brandon Miller's not gone too long. He's on my fantasy team. My fantasy team's... You're going to beat me in fantasy basketball, by the way. Just going to say that now.
Yeah, shocking.
Yeah, okay, on that note, let's end this thing.
Yeah, guys, you heard it here first. I'm beating Lucas again in fantasy basketball. You've been listening to another episode of the Sixer Sense podcast. As always, please like, subscribe, follow along if you can. We are on Twitter at Sixer Sense. You can follow Lucas at CoachJ_20. I am at KleinNBA. And you can read all the stuff going up on thesixersense.com if you want. And yeah, until next time, please leave us a 5-star review. Follow us, subscribe on Apple Music or I guess Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And until then, peace out. Go Sixers. Hopefully next time we talk, we'll be able to talk about Joel Embiid and Paul George like playing in a game. That'd be nice. But
that would be nice.
We will see. Probably not. We'll talk to you soon. Hey guys.
Deuces.